Welcome to the Fuller Money Audio Commentary. This is David Fuller on Monday, the 8th of November, recording at 7:54 p.m. Greenwich Mean Time. Well, the most important thing that happened here today was that the European Central Bank President, Jean-Claude Trichet, came out with a bit of jawboning, prompted by the euro's strength last week. And evidently, we also had Jacques Chirac and another politician also fretting about the euro towards the end of last week, I think on last Friday. So, the official jawboning has started. Now, those of you who've been subscribers for at least a year, and those of you who are active in the currency markets, will be very aware that this time last year, the European Central Bank staged a very persistent jawboning campaign, which eventually worried investors sufficiently that they bottled out of their long euro positions against the US dollar. Now, I've done a technical summary on that in the subscribers area, so I'm not going to review all that, and the charts speak for themselves, and I've added some comment. But I think that we have to look at this as a bit of a warning shot across the bow. How serious it is, I'm inclined to think that it may take more aggressive jawboning this time to slow up the euros, to reverse the euros rally, not to slow it up. It has had that effect of slowing it up here today, and we're down a little bit to 129.10 against the US dollar, and the dollar is a little bit stronger generally, but not very much at all. So, you know, jawboning is a tactic that we've seen before, often and on, by central banks and politicians. It can work if the market's overbought and if people are overextended with long positions. It can work if they're really quite aggressive about it, but there tends to be a delaying effect from this. In other words, you call wolf too many times and nobody believes it, whereas it's actually intervention, and particularly multilateral central bank intervention, that is effective in terms of checking currency advances. Now, is there any chance of that anytime soon? Well, I doubt it very, very much, and I think that would most certainly require the US's participation. And will the Bush administration throw a bone of comfort to the Europeans? It's possible, but I don't think they'd really mean it. I think they're quite content to see the dollar devalue slowly in this environment. Okay, the second most important thing that's happened today is that we do have a short-term overbought condition in stock markets following the gangbuster gains that we have seen recently. I mean, really, we had pretty good gains right from the mid-August low, as you know, and then we had a consolidation for about a month from the middle of September into the middle of October for many markets, and then they pushed ahead again. And of course, some markets that were absolute towers of strength, such as the Australian market, look a bit overextended in the short term. And that fell today. A number of markets reacted. No downward dynamics that I saw, and a consolidation would not be at all surprising. But I maintain, more importantly than a short-term consolidation, well, I'll put it this way, I feel that the downside risk is limited to a short-term pause, small reaction, and consolidation of gains before stock markets go higher in here. So that window of opportunity that I've talked about remains very much open. The technical evidence that you would have seen on those stock market charts that I posted on Friday and earlier on is certainly supportive of this, and I mentioned on Friday that in Friday's audio that there were a number of breakouts occurring all over the place, and not least in stock markets. Okay, excuse me. Now, what else is going on here? Bonds. This is, again, a very interesting area. I maintain that bonds are in an overall top extension phase. These are long-dated government bonds I'm speaking about, and the most dangerous of these, of course, the most dangerous means that they also have the most potential. Most dangerous for bulls, most potential for bears, are the U.S. Treasuries and the Japanese government bonds, the JGBs. And I'd go out as long as I can. I think their actively traded contract in Japan is the 10-year. I trade the 30-year contract in the U.S. Treasuries more often than not. Get a little bit better bang for your bigger bang for your buck in that. And the patterns that we've seen, those gradual technical rallies that had taken place over the last few months, show a loss of upside momentum. We haven't had that much in the way of big downward dynamics, although we had one on Friday in the U.S. Treasuries, although it didn't maintain a lot of that decline, left a tail on the chart. But nonetheless, that looked encouraging. Now, there is a risk, of course, that all that liquidity that's sloshing around the system, and if you haven't seen that chart that I posted from the bank credit analyst on Friday's comment of the day, you really do want to have a look at it. So all that record liquidity could help to prop the bonds up for a while longer. You know, I've described it as the rising tide that can lift all boats. But not all boats are equal. I said the liquidity would be best for stock markets. It would be best for commodity trades. It certainly would do no harm for property, provided valuations aren't too overextended in the area that you're looking at. Also for real estate, and also for fine art. But government bonds, I think, really, as I've said all along, they're an accident waiting to happen. And I've got that short position in the U.S. Treasuries, which is in the money. And I have been talking, although not massively, obviously, but I had been talking about adding to that position, preferably on strength. I had the opportunity to do that over several weeks, didn't do it. I'd also been talking about shorting the JGBs, I did do that in here today. Now, there is nothing dramatic, as you can see, that's taken place on the chart to prompt me to actually do that, but we have seen a loss of upside momentum. It's got the look of a small rounding top, as I mentioned in the comment, so I wanted to have an initial position there. It's not a big position, and I would add to that position, and most likely will, either up or down. I wouldn't mind seeing a very feeble rally enabling me to sell a second position at a slightly better price overall. Now, in the currency markets, I mentioned that we'd seen a somewhat steadier dollar, and I think that's, well, earlier on today, that was also evident against the Australian dollar. I'll ask a favor here, my Australian listeners and New Zealand listeners, if you notice any jawboning efforts in your region as far as the strength of the Aussie and Kiwi dollars are concerned, I would appreciate that information. I'm much, much less likely to hear that over here. Bloomberg's less likely to cover it. It's less likely to appear in the press. But you would hear it instantly. So in the empowerment through knowledge, or in line with the empowerment through knowledge theme, again, if you have a moment, if you hear anything like that, I would welcome the feedback. Meanwhile, we've seen the Australian dollar. It's at 75.73 right now. That's down 55 ticks. So it's given up most, but not all, of Friday's games. But the chart still looks very orderly. This in no way changes that overall chart outlook. And this is very much, appears to me to be very much a response to what's happened with Eurodollar, just encouraging a wee bit of profit taking or causing the demand to dry up a bit. I have a long position in the Australian dollar against the U.S., as you probably know, and I prefer that to Eurodollar because of the interest rate differentials. Now, elsewhere here today, let's take the metals markets. Gold's down a little bit. I've got that off the screen right now. I'll go back to that in a moment here. But the one metal that was up in here today is the lead. And the 3 months lead position closed up 18 at 9.46 and had been up as high as 9.53. I put that chart up because it has accelerated a bit in the last few days and it is up near some prior resistance. So I did think long and hard about possibly taking that profit in here today, and it's something that I may remain tempted to do if that profit lasts. But in the meantime, what I did do is place an in-the-money stop in that market. I hadn't done that earlier on because I thought that there was a chance that it could be choppy. Fortunately, it wasn't. I say fortunately, it's less stressful if it's not choppy or less difficult to handle. And I decided to stay with it for the reasons given, I think, of commonality, the overall liquidity, the fact that people had been saying and advising investors to short these metals recently. That suggested to me that they weren't all that overextended. And there was one other factor which I can't remember at the moment. And certainly a weaker dollar would help these metal prices. And I think that jawboning aside, I doubt that we're going to see, well, today's jawboning and last Friday's, I doubt that we're going to see any sort of a sufficiently aggressive effort to have a major impact on these metals. Oil price, energy prices could act as a little bit of a drag in here, but I'm not too concerned about that at this time. Other metals, say, were down a bit. The biggest hit, perhaps, was the nickel market, which gave up $500, and just about all of Friday's or the day before's gains. And tin also down $75 in here, but still pretty firm overall. And it does, well, I don't see any evidence yet that this run in the metals is over. Now, the coffee market's a little bit better in here today. I've got that UK coffee market showing a loss on that position, along with my other soft commodity positions here right now. Fractional quarter of a point gain in the soybeans here today, down 1.5 cents in the corn, but mostly these are just drifting in here, and now I'm quite resigned to the fact, you know, when I went in and started building these positions, I thought they were so depressed that I was likely to see a snap back on the upside fairly soon. That does not look likely to be the case, but you never know. You never know in these markets when they are very depressed. You can get explosive rallies. Oh, if only I'd had the cocoa in here, and I hadn't been talking about that, so I wouldn't have. But you know, you had that problem in the Ivory Coast, and things just exploded on the upside. Now, that's just a bonus, not for the Ivory Coast, but obviously, but certainly for anyone who's in the markets when something like that happens. But at these very depressed levels, and with shorts in the market, as inevitably is the case when prices have been driven down quite a long way, you do very often see some explosive rebounds. But these markets are going to look like they're in the dead zone. They are in the dead zone until that actually happens. So I've said before, I'm fully prepared to be patient. I'm fully prepared to take a temporary loss on contract rollovers if we haven't seen a good rebound here by the December, mid to late December period, when some of these contracts come up for expiration. But I will definitely roll them ahead. But I'm not at this time all that interested in actually increasing the positions. And I think that's pretty much it. No, I was said I would talk about the gold price and a little bit on oil here. I get that in golds. Remember, we had that breakout last week, and it didn't break out and run, but it was very, very steady. So we did get a new high for this overall, what I've described as a stealth bull run. And they were down $1.40 here today at 432.15. Now, this thing trades pretty much around the clock, so that could easily change in the next few hours. But this is very much in line with the somewhat firmer U.S. dollar. But the chart looks very positive to me, and I wouldn't be at all surprised to see gold touch $450 before the end of this year. As I've said before, targets are pure guesswork, of course, but my point is the chart is good. This is a secular bull market. We have had a breakout. The most conservative way to play this is with the gold bullion securities. If one plays it through the mining shares, unless you're a real expert in that area, I would go with big companies, quality. Newmont Mining is at the top of most people's list, including mine. One can play it through the proxy, which is silver, very, very volatile. So you have to, you certainly have to allow that. And palladium, now that's the laggard and the sleeper here. It'll continue sleeping if gold falls back for any reason, which I have no reason to expect at this stage. But you push gold up towards that $450 level, let alone above, and with that would also take silver with it. And in all probability, platinum would be rallying as well. And in that event, I think we would eventually see a quite significant breakout by lagging palladium. That's exactly what happened last year and at the beginning of this year. It underperformed. Everything else went up. Palladium exploded in what was probably a two-month run. I can't remember at the time, but you pretty much get the picture, or may even recall it. And that created some terrific profits. So I'm positioned for that, although I'm positioned lightly. I've got a third to a quarter of the position that I had at one stage. But if this continues to range around in these levels and gold follows through on the upside, I might well increase my palladium exposure. And that's it, folks, except I just run down the U.S., where it's been sort of mostly on the minus side today, but not very much. And occasionally it's pushed up to small gains. I mean, the Dow's currently up 3 points, but the S&P is down 1.44, and the NASDAQ is down half a point. So very, very small declines. And if it consolidates without showing any downward dynamics, it won't be long before we see additional gains. Have a good evening.